ships pull in, and I watch them roll away again. Oh yeah, sit on the dock of a bay, watching the clouds roll away. Whoa, whoa. Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York, militaryexchange.co.
Welcome to Canandaigua, 1310 WOKR, Three Men and a Microphone, but now it's just this guy and that girl.
That's right.
And I had someone come in the store and say, I want to know who that girl is.
Did
I came
really?
In here to see who she, probably wanted to see what she looked like. But I posted your picture on there anyway.
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
So Tina Bloom, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone, and this is the Canandaigua News Hour.
That's right. We have to pick up the slack where our buddy Mike Yarger left off. He left us high and dry this week, Mike. We miss you, but we're going to try to muddle through.
He's over there taking a vacation. I called him.
Oh, must be nice.
His wife had to hold the phone up to his ear while he's driving.
Was she feeding him grapes? I'll bet she was feeding him grapes and fanning him with leaves.
Palm leaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
I can see it.
I could hear the sand. I could hear the sandals. I know that there was a pina colada or something in the background.
Oh, for sure. How could there not be?
He couldn't even lift his right arm to hold the phone.
That man is like royalty. Canandaigua 2020 royalty.
Royalty.
You know, they have over 10,400 followers as of this week, Tim.
That's
a ton.
You know, and it's so much more than other sites. Like, there's some really cool places in Canandaigua on the internet, like Canandaigua Buy, Sell, and...
Yep.
Right? But, you know, there's a selfish motive there, right? You know, you want to sell something or you want to buy something. So if the numbers increase, it's only because the one, this kid from Canandaigua, I don't know his name, Mike does, he's a great kid, and he thought of this, and he's had his numbers over 11,000, 12,000, something like that. But he created that, and then other people have now followed. Plus, I think
wow.
He also has Victor and maybe another town that he's done.
Okay.
But when you're talking social, where people actually intermix, and you have to control that, and you have to feed that, it's like a feeding it, like a, you know, like that, remember that plant? The feed me.
Yes. Oh, what do they call those? I want to say like a man-eating plant, but that's not it. Why can't I think of the name?
It was a blood-sucking plant, I know for sure. Right, but it would eat people.
But it looked like jaws, right? Two
yeah.
little green jaws.
Yeah,
and
so this 2020 is like something that Mike has to feed every day, all day long.
Yeah, but, it's a living thing, too, because other people
exactly.
put stuff up, and they put up news. And, you know, 10,400 folks, that isn't something to blink at. The total population of Canandaigua City and Town is just over 21,000. So if you think the majority of those folks are Canandaigua residents at some point, you have 40 to 50% of the population on that site. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And it's a compliment to Mike. And it's a compliment to the community because they want to get the news quicker. They want to share. And they want to know.
Give your opinion. Be part
of
it.
If you live in a bad area where you just go, I don't want to know. Like where I live in the city, you always hear people say, well, as long as it doesn't come to my door, as long as it's not in my house, there could be, in my opinion, there could be a murder going on in the street. And people are not going to go out there to help.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, so when you look at like... these other, and now everybody's following this. They're all doing like, you know, different ward Facebook pages and stuff
okay.
like that.
they're not that popular. Because
you're talking about in the city of Rochester.
Right. You can't talk about it much without it turning into something horrible, like a great big social debate where you would fail. You can't name names for fear that there's retaliation.
Yeah.
And I noticed that on 2020, it's not that way at all.
No, and just like anything else, you have a few bad apples or people that like to stir the pot, but there's entertainment value to that, and I think it's pretty well administered, the pages, where if people are being offensive or completely inappropriate, they get nixed, rightfully so.
Right, and not only can you call out your accuser on Facebook or on Canandaigua 2020, but you can also give the fun stuff, and there's so many offshoots of 2020. There's like at least six.
It's all the people that have been kicked off 2020 for inappropriate behavior. So they create, 2021 or whatever these sites are. I don't even want to plug them.
You know what's like that? There's a diner in Ontario. It used to be anyways. It's called Granskowski's. And one day we're all in there.
I don't know that. I went to high school out there. I don't know. Was it near? I knew Constantino's.
Well, exactly.
Okay.
So if you got kicked out of Constantino's, which it was often, you wound up in Granskowski's, and I didn't know that because I hadn't gotten kicked out of Constantino's yet growing up.
But I
never had actually. But one day I'm in Granskowski's, and someone says, "Oh, you're eating down here now? What'd you get kicked out of Constantino's?" And I go, "What? You got kicked out?" And like 20 people go, "All of us got kicked out."
All right, back up. How do you get kicked out of a diner? I mean, do you chew with your mouth open? I mean, what do you have to do to get kicked out of a diner?
I don't know. Because I never got kicked out of Constantino's.
You skip on the bill? I mean, this is awful.
I think you complain, you know. Again, fiefdoms. I don't believe in fiefdoms, but
yeah,
that's what it is, too. I mean, I won't throw anybody out of here, but I will debate with them, you know, on policy or their character, the way they're acting.
Well, debate's a beautiful
thing. I won't tell them, look, that's it, you're banned. I've never said that in 23 years. Because it would be too vain of me to think that would be okay.
Yeah.
But you do have to call people out on it.
Sure.
You know, if they're misbehaving, that kind of thing.
I don't know, but I'm feeling pretty proud that I've never been kicked out of an eating establishment in my life. So
I'm
doing pretty well.
I have.
Oh, no, Tim.
I have. As a matter of fact, I'm better if I sit in a corner and don't engage in conversation.
Why,
I'm
just
better
off
just leaving it alone.
Start talking politics and stuff like that? Or what is it that...
It's politics, and then it's the way they act towards you. If they're abusive, or they're overpowering, or they're just treating you terribly, but expecting that money for that crap that they're slinging.
Yeah.
Tim has a way of throwing some words out there.
Shocking.
Well, I mean, I'm not filthy. I'm not disgusting about it. I'll try to have a discourse, but they don't want to hear it because they have fiefdoms.
What happened to the customers always right? And you go to these establishments for service and you tip and you give a gratuity based on good service above and beyond. Now it's almost like, you know, they can be rude, not make eye contact, do the bare minimum, but still expect their 15%.
That's right. And you know when it left? It left with the tablecloth. When they stopped having the tablecloth and the candles on the table, and they walked up and they said they serve, I hope I got this right, serve from the right, take from the left.
Okay.
And, you know, that's when it disappeared. Now they reach right over in front of you, they plop it down. Waitresses don't even want, waitresses, waiters, wait staff, they don't want to just, they don't even put the plate down anymore. They hand it to you. Here.
Careful, it's hot.
You know, and you're in charge of the placement of your plate in front of you. You know, it's just, that stuff's all gone. So here comes the high prices. Try eating out anyplace under 10. I have been getting bills for breakfast with my wife and whoever I go out with, $50. The prices are going up. Maybe that's not the restaurant's fault, but where was the service? Where was the smile?
It does make a difference.
And the people don't want to talk anymore. And they don't want to talk because of, like we discussed on Civil War Radio.
Yeah.
You know, the hour before this, that it people can't do it. They can't have that discussion without it going bad. As soon as they realize you're not akin to them and their thoughts, why was I even doing this?
And that's, that's disappointing that you can't have relative civil discourse and agree to disagree or just have good conversation with folks. But and don't get me wrong, I could never do the work that servers do. I've never been a server, a waitress in my life, never been anything like that. And the work that they do, it's got to be thankless. It's difficult physically. You have to remember a ton of stuff, and I give them so much credit, but be polite, be nice about it. I kind of miss that. It's one of the perks of going out. When you don't get that, I think you drive business down.
Right, and I have done all that. I've worked in every aspect of restaurants, from waiting to cleaning to cooking to prep, everything.
Wow.
And I like it. And I used to like being the guy that would serve you well as a waiter. I used to like getting that waiter type of tip.
Yeah, that's just it. When you believe in good service and you give good service, it reflects. So, do you want to go into news, Tim?
We're going to go into news.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy four person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter.
You bastard.
Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
So, Tina, what do you have for our local first in reporting news here on Three Men and a Microphone?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, filling in for Mike. So don't expect anything big here, Tim. I wanted to follow up on one of the stories we did last week regarding the pilot agreement with Pinnacle North and Morgan LaChase Development. So they asked for this pilot amendment on Pinnacle North, which would fix their tax assessment. So it wouldn't go up for a number of years. It's an amendment to the prior agreement that they had, and there was some uproar about that. So this past Monday, there was a Finance and Budget Committee. They met, and there were more people on the committee that were for making the pilot amendment than against it. And I think for our listeners, it's kind of important to know who in your city is standing up for what you believe or don't. And in favor of that agreement so far was your mayor, Ellen Palomini, Councilman Matt Martin, James Terwilliger, Cindy Wade, and Nick Kutry. And there were a few council members absolutely against it, saying, you know what, we made this agreement, we shouldn't have to amend it. Just like in your personal life, you don't get amendments on your tax assessment when, you know, the handshake and papers have already been signed. And those folks against it, which I give credit to, are Dave Whitcomb, Robert O'Brien, and Karen White. So far they staunchly said, you know, we don't like this idea, we're against it. But they are, unfortunately, in the minority at this point. So the next step is Thursday, November 16th, there's a public hearing. If you live in the city of Canandaigua and you feel strongly about this, go out there and talk to your elected representatives. Tell them how you feel.
And this is an amendment to?
To the original agreement for their assessment. So Pinnacle North, the first phase of development went up. And
oh, this is that,
yes.
What is it, 2% a year or something?
Yeah. So they, you know, originally said this is going to be your fixed price. It was assessed higher than what they thought, than the developer thought. And they said, well, hold on, back up. We still have other phases to build. Unless you give us this agreement, you know, we might not complete this project. So
oh,
I understand.
So another birdcage threat.
And that's just it. So, I understand the folks that say, hey, we need to amend this agreement so that development continues. But in my opinion, get your ducks in a row ahead of time. I mean, know what you're getting into for both the developer developer and the city. But I think now we have this fear. We have that black mark on us because of the birdcage down there that's been sitting there forever and ever. So it's another fear. So public hearing November 16th.
So if it doesn't work out your way, you didn't budget correctly, you didn't plan the right way to, you know, with your construction material and people moving in and the cost.
Take your ball and go home.
So, well, it's blackmail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's sad. It's really unfortunate.
And the thing is, it doesn't work for anybody else in business. I can't pull that stunt. I can't refuse to pay taxes. The guy that I rent from can't pull that stunt. And if I can guarantee it wouldn't happen.
Nor can we
as
private property owners, you know, for my home in the city. I can't say, you know what, although I can fight my assessment, I can't go to the town assessment board and say, you know what, I want you to hold my assessment at this rate for a number of years, and here's what I'm going to give you in return. Those deals don't make sense, and I understand in business and the commercial side it's slightly different, but an agreement was already struck and made. So, in my opinion, you should stick with the original terms of that agreement.
I agree.
So, I hate to complain, so let's move on to something fun. This weekend is the Chris Kindle Market at the Granger Homestead, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday from 10 to 4. There's going to be a shuttle running, so you might not be able to find parking on Granger or any of those streets around. So Northeast Park on Chapel Street, there's going to be a shuttle. There's also handicap parking at the school, and there'll be a shuttle back to Granger Homestead from there. Have you ever been, Tim?
You know, I haven't, of course, did I just say this? I've driven by for many years, but I've never gone in. So is this everything Christmas, like in decorations?
Not necessarily. So they do have Christmas stuff, but they just have artisans. So over 150 artisans and vendors are going to be present. You can find Christmas gifts. I've been in there. You can find everything from food stuff to bath lotion to wine, anything you might want to give or receive, you can find there. And it's really neat. Ooh. It's set up in a heated tent. There's going to be live entertainment and holiday music throughout the show, German food, wine and beer, like we said. So it's a fun festive thing. You're not just going to shop, but you can go and have lunch and spend some time with friends and family.
So this is like the steam pageant, only for other people.
So I can't speak to that, Tim. I've never been to the steam pageant, although it sounds like a ton of fun.
The steam pageant is cast iron. It's tools.
So it's not all things trains.
They got the whole train thing going, or steam pageant. So it's really tractors.
Okay. Oh.
And you'll see these guys in like little moped / garden tractors, driving around, towing a bunch of people that they made their own little tractor farm thing out of whatever, you know, Hoovers and Sears, and, you know, they just put it all together. Driving around, and everybody's selling, you know, they're mostly selling, I think, antiques, but there was nothing brand new. I mean, that's the whole idea of, I guess, steam
pageant.
Sure,
it's history.
So, to me, that's like the coolest place in the world.
Okay.
But the
Chris Kindle Market. Yep. Saturday and Sunday, Granger Homestead. So,
but I would definitely go for the food, and I would go to, like, obviously to pick a nice a nice gift for
go
a friend
for gifts
or a wife.
Or just browse. I mean, it's arts and crafts. It's not all this big box stuff. I think it's part of the whole shopping local movement, which I know personally I'm going to try to do a lot more of this Christmas season. So go out, get a head start on your Christmas shopping. I don't personally like to think about Christmas until after Thanksgiving, but it's here, so let's do it. And it's affordable. So $6 per person. $10 will get you a multi-day pass. So you could go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday and Sunday for $10. And 12 and under are free. So It's an affordable thing to do on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
I'm gonna make a valiant effort to go.
I should. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. So whenever I see that tent go up at the Granger Homestead this time of year, it kind of gets me in the spirit. I was at Eastview Mall this past weekend, and they're playing Christmas music. The big Christmas trees are up already. The Santa chair is out. Santa was not there. But that, oh my gosh, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. I just think it's too early. Do you think we get a jump on the gun with this stuff?
I play on the air. Obviously, you don't listen to our own show. I play a winter commercial immediately after Halloween.
Winter commercial. Christmas or winter?
And I started my Christmas commercial last week.
I can understand last the winter, week. But Christmas. Oh, okay. All right.
And then, by the way, if you haven't ever heard any of my commercials, they're all absolutely short, hilarious stories.
Oh, I've heard them. I've heard your Halloween one, and maybe that's what turned me off to him. I was terrified. That shrieking woman. Oh, my gosh. I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I listening to? It was dark. It was scary.
We talk about, on the winter commercial, it's very rock and roll based, and it's about writing your name in the snow.
So I heard the one about yellow snow. Hopefully we're not talking about the same thing.
That's it.
Yeah, and taking 20 minutes to drive and, oh, in the snow. And, yeah. No, I have heard that commercial. So don't try to call me out that
you
I don't
did
listen
hear
to
that
the
one.
Station. I did.
Well, I got a Christmas one. But then I have one for really close to Christmas.
Okay.
Where we do our own Nordic Air Force spotting of Santa Claus.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, yeah. I wish that's what I really did for a living, was make commercials for Army-Navy stores. I think it's a very small market, but I think I would have the most fun.
You'd be very good at it. Well, who is it? It's NORAD, right? That does
NORAD.
The tracking of Santa Claus?
What did I say, Nordic?
Yeah. Oh, I knew what you meant, though. My mind went there. Yeah, NORAD.
NORAD.
Is it? The
it's NORAD. Yeah.
And I'm going to try
thinking
to
of
think
that,
of it.
That thing you ride on a bike, Nordic.
Oh, Nordic track? Like an,
yeah.
Like an elliptical? So, yeah, Chris Kindle Market this weekend. That also brought up something on 2020 that I found to be interesting, talking more about Thanksgiving, is Thanksgiving dinners for those underprivileged and those who maybe who can't afford or don't have people to spend Thanksgiving with, which is super sad. What do you do on Thanksgiving, Tim?
We avoid going to anybody's house. 100%, but it's sometimes every so many years, it's going to have to happen. It's either Christmas I can get out of, well, never, and then maybe I can get out of Thanksgiving.
But you like getting out of it.
Oh, I don't. I'm just not that guy. I would rather just go to the restaurant or stay at home and you know, the wife makes that littler turkey with the littler stuff, and we have sandwiches for a week, you know. I don't mind the restaurant for Thanksgiving.
So I was going to bring
Christmas,
that up as
you,
well.
You want to get together.
I was going to ask if you'd ever gone out for Thanksgiving dinner. I never have. Always a very traditional Thanksgiving meal. Now that I'm an adult, I host for my family. So I have my sister and her family, my mom, my uncle, cousins. Everybody comes to my house, and I love to cook. So, you know, I live for these big holidays. I love to entertain. I love to cook.
That's a lot of work on your end.
It is. You know, so it's just me, but I enjoy it. I really do. I prepare well in advance, and I love doing the turkey, you know, completely traditionally. I do the homemade stuffing from scratch. I'll even go out and get sourdough bread and, you know, let it get a little crusty. And then I just love it.
You know what I want to try this year?
What's that?
Popeyes has a Cajun turkey.
Oh, no, don't. Not
Isn't
Popeyes.
That something?
Why don't you just go through the KFC drive-thru?
Oh, that's horrible.
Happy Thanksgiving, Colonel Sanders.
Cajun turkey.
That's okay. All right.
I don't know.
Maybe not on Thanksgiving. Did you go to Taco Wednesday when Taco Bell had those free tacos you were talking about a couple weeks ago?
No.
All right. Well, Popeyes, it sounds like, would be right up that same alley. But I have never gone out for a Thanksgiving meal. I don't know if I could. I feel like it would break from tradition too much.
So what do you do on Christmas?
Christmas?
Same thing?
Yeah, same type of thing. I typically don't host Christmas. We'll go to my mom's or my sister's. My sister doesn't cook, so I'll usually cook and bring stuff to her house. She's got two little guys. So, yeah, I'll cook for them, and everybody brings a side, watch the kids open their gifts. Yeah, but it's always been very home-based for me. And I know it's different for everybody, but, yeah, I've never gone out. But there are restaurants in the area that are hosting specific Thanksgiving meals. Somebody was commenting on 2020 about wanting to go out for Thanksgiving, and they looked at, I think it was the Shore at the Inn on the Lake, and they said $44.95 per person. That's outrageous. For Thanksgiving dinner, I think that's pretty darn good. Do you think that's expensive?
That's per person?
Yeah, yeah. For adults, they had a senior rate, I believe, and a child rate, too. But that includes everything. I think it even includes, you know, dessert, you know, coffee, tea. You get your turkey, your stuffing, mashed potatoes, everything for that traditional Thanksgiving meal. And I think it's a buffet. For a holiday.
Buffet.
You think that's expensive?
Buffet. See, as soon as you threw a buffet in there, I picture that, you know how there's always just a little bit left, or it's not really as warm as it could be? Because it's not really, you know... A buffet is from kitchen to buffet to table. It's not kitchen to table.
See, so I would give a restaurant like the Inn on the Lake, the Shore, a little more credit than like Ponderosa, you know, or Old Country Buffet. Or hopefully they would be rotating the meals, keeping them warm. Probably have a carving station with somebody live there carving it for you. I don't know for sure. Totally speaking out of turn here. But somebody was commenting on that, and it got me thinking about what people do for Thanksgiving dinner. Finger Lakes Racetrack, the Vineyard Buffet, they're doing something up there, too.
I've eaten there at the Finger Lake Racetrack.
Is it good?
You know, it was okay.
Okay.
Again, it's not kitchen to table. There's you lose something in the quality when you stop to put it in, you know, over steaming hot tables. You know, then the food, it depends on how fast it's being turned over, how many people are really grabbing
it
and eating it.
But you've worked in food service, too. This is stuff I've never thought about, and that's my ignorance.
I can be a snob, but I also appreciate quality, quantity, and price. You know, nothing's worse than overpaying and walking away hungry.
Sure.
Except all of that and you didn't even like what you ate.
But quantity. I mean, where are you going to get more quantity than a buffet? I love buffets.
No place.
I can't remember the last time I've been to a buffet, but that used to be the big thing. So growing up, we didn't have a ton of money, and going to Ponderosa was like the fancy meal for us. You know, so we'd go every few months on a Sunday, and it was so exciting. I don't know why. I like to try a little bit of everything, too, so I think that's why buffets appeal to me. But
that's exactly why I like buffets, because I like a smorgasbord of things. I would rather eat a dozen little things, right, than just, all right, this is it. Eat all the turkey you want, but this is it. But if there was two places that I would trust with a buffet, it would be Inn on the Lake and Finger Lakes Racetrack.
Perfect. So
I do believe that, you know, and that makes me want to, instead of where we normally go, support local and pick one of those too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm actually very lucky with horses. But I doubt there's any horses running in the winter.
Probably not this time of year. No, but I heard we're bringing greyhound racing back.
Greyhounds and rabbits.
That's right. It'll be crazy. But Patty's Place Restaurant, for over 20 years, has done a Thanksgiving meal for those who can't afford it or don't have anyone to spend Thanksgiving with. And Patty Hotchkiss, who was the owner there until recently when that restaurant was sold, would do it year after year. I think she did it Christmas as well, but Thanksgiving was her big meal. So she no longer owns the restaurant, but she's going to be having that same meal at the Elks Lodge on Thanksgiving from 11 to 1 for folks that don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with or just can't afford a nice hot meal.
So it's not Patty's Place isn't going to be doing that anymore?
So, you know, there are differing reports. Originally, when that restaurant was purchased, I think it was in the Daily Messenger, they said they're going to keep up that tradition. But Patty is having her own meal at the Elks. So maybe they will, maybe they won't. I can only speak to what she's doing at the Elks Club on Thanksgiving.
Well, it's definitely a nice thing that they do either way.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a huge tradition. And, I mean, this woman really gives back and helps out her community. And I just love that.
So she doesn't charge at the Elks Lodge?
Uh-uh.
Because, you know, we don't really appreciate how many people in Canandaigua, in this area, really don't have the money to eat well.
Yeah.
Up until recently, we used to support the Vets Club so that veterans actually got at least, I believe it was one warm meal, like a really hot meal, a week. But everybody chipped in to make sure they had one hot meal a day. So people would bring food. We used to pay for them to go to Tom Wall's. And the Vets Club or the Vets House is right across the street from Pizza Hut.
Okay.
And I don't think a lot of people know about it.
No, I certainly didn't. And that brings up folks that want to donate dinners. I've heard, you know, people want to find a place to donate a turkey, or they want to provide a meal to a needy family or someone that maybe can't afford it, or Christmas gifts with the holidays coming. You want to sponsor a family. So this is another topic on 2020 that's been discussed at length recently. And there are some organizations that are reputable that you can check in with to see, hey, are there families in your area that you know of that we could help out if you do want to donate? And some of the ones brought up were the Elks Club, the Blue Star Mothers, to your point, if you want to help out some veterans and veterans groups.
Oh, right. They have their own kitchen and house over by the VA hospital.
They do. Yep. The Salvation Army is another one. Head Start was brought up. The school district. Check with the school district. They know what families are in need more so than probably a lot of others. And Kiwanis and St. Mary's Church have programs as well where, you know, they'll do like a Christmas tree type thing. You take an ornament or a star off the tree and it'll tell you, hey, we need a pair of gloves donated or a gift for a little girl who's age 10 or something like that. And you bring it back to those organizations and they distribute it to families as needed. So you have to love being part of a community that really wants to help each other out. And before we wrap that up, have you heard of Gleaner's Kitchen?
No.
Okay, so that's at St. John's Episcopal Church at 183 North Main Street here in Canandaigua. They have meals 5 days a week. They open at 11. They serve dinner or lunch at noon. And they're also going to have a Thanksgiving meal for those who can't afford. So it's just like a hot meal every day, five days a week, I should say, at the Episcopal Church. I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's an awful lot of people providing an awful lot of good food for in one small area.
It certainly is.
You should not go hungry on Thanksgiving in Canandaigua.
You should never go hungry at all, but especially on Thanksgiving. You're right. And you should never have to eat alone. I mean, that's part of the beauty of Thanksgiving. We talk about the food, but it's about the people you're with, too.
You know what we don't have out here?
What's that?
Maybe we don't need it, but I know there's a homeless camp. We don't have a homeless shelter, do we?
Ooh, you know, I have no idea, and I feel bad about saying that. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if these places like these churches have any housing, whether it's on site or off site, for those who don't have a place to sleep,
like
or a place to go in the cold.
Like with this weather here.
Right.
There was a gentleman, and we tried to feed him, and he wouldn't let us. We actually tried to buy him a pizza, but he would hide right over there in those trees. And is when the pizza shop next door would throw out, like, stuff, I think maybe between daytime and dinner, he would run across, and he was barefooted.
Oh, my gosh.
And we were like, let us do something for you.
Hey, yeah.
No way. Ran right back to the trees, and after about the third time we approached him, I think we probably ruined his pizza crust eating.
Oh.
Because I don't think he wanted to be...
Was he too proud? Was he embarrassed? Or was there a component of mental illness involved? You know, because a lot of these folks who are homeless, there's mental illness involved. And that's an issue that I think we need to see addressed on a grander scale in the community, too.
Yeah. And you know what? Because he really wouldn't communicate, I wouldn't know any of those.
Yeah.
But I know that my wife, that was killing her.
It absolutely breaks my heart to think of anybody having to go without. So I think we're all incredibly fortunate, and we take a lot of our blessings for granted. So
you know what an infantry guy thinks?
What's that?
From the Marine Corps? Saying it's Veterans Day and it's Marine Corps birthday. What good survival skills does that guy have?
Oh my gosh. That's what
we think. We think that homeless is one thing, but survival is like a challenge.
Sure.
And I swear, if you were to get into the psyche of a homeless person that's a vet, They're right there with what I'm thinking, that this is some way of stepping outside of society, sticking your finger up to the man,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Society and corporations, and surviving and showing that you actually have those kind of survival skills.
Yeah, I can't imagine not knowing where your next meal is going to come from or how you're going to stay warm at night. Yeah, it's mind-boggling and very, very sad. So, but you're right, you brought up Veterans Day today. Saturday is Veterans Day. So thank you to all soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen.
Oh, you did good. Yeah.
We talked about a little bit about Veterans Day and the history of it on Civil War Radio. So if folks haven't listened to that the hour prior to the show, I'd recommend they do. If you see a veteran out there or know anybody that served, thank them. I think that our country doesn't do a good enough job at taking care of those who served us, and I hold those folks in the highest regard. So thanks to everybody who's listening that served. And thank you, Tim.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. And you're right. It's about thanking the person, the veteran that's alive today. You know, you can't do that with someone who's passed. That's what Memorial Day is for, and that's probably our saddest day. But Veterans Day, love the one that's near you. You know, I'll get on my horse again, you know, my little soapbox. But you can go up to a vet and say, thanks for your service. And that's good. You should do that. But that doesn't limit you or stop you from your obligation to really help that veteran into society. You know, thank you for your service. You shake the hand. You walk away and go, well, that's it. I'm done. I did my thing.
Mm.
No, not really. That guy still wants to be a part of the society, of his community. He still wants to go back to school, learn a trade, get a skill, get an education. He wants to be invited into your church, into your home. He wants you to not look at him as something different than what you are. He wants you to accept him,
mm-hmm,
but embrace him. They want to be involved. Guys like Matt Martin, who are on, you know, involved
City
in politics
Council.
And
yeah,
involved in the vets court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
What better representative of us as elected representative than a veteran? I can't think of a better one personally.
Well, right. But I'm just glad to see a couple of them on our committees and our councils and things like that. But bring them home. Not literally. You don't really have to, like, bring them home, sit them on your couch, but you could.
Mm-hmm.
But you could at least befriend them and invite them into your society. And that's really what they want.
And I think that's a good lesson. Now, Tim, is it embarrassing for veterans when folks go up to them and thank them for their service and want to shake their hand? Because I've heard some people say, you know, it's embarrassing. They'd rather not be acknowledged. Do you think that's a widespread thing, or it's just personal from person to person that they don't want that service acknowledged?
I say, if that's true, then ignore that and do it anyways.
I agree.
Because too often, that wasn't said to the Vietnam veteran at all. So, and the Korean War veteran was ignored. The Gulf War veteran was basically ignored, but they did get a parade, where the Vietnam guy never even got the parade.
No, that was a sad.
There's
sad
technically one in New York City, so you know if you're home going, oh no, well, I'm Corporal Tim Thorne. I'm well aware of the little New York City parade that they threw for the Vietnam vets way too late in the time period of our history.
Yeah.
But so shake their hands, even if you have to reach out and grab their hand. I mean, I'm wondering how that sounded. But grab their hand and shake it and tell them thank you. Tell them you love them. Tell them you want them to, like I said, invite them to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, or your society, your Elks Club, your Moose Lodge, whatever.
Right.
Something. Just befriend them. Say you want to go out for a cup of coffee. But definitely thank them for their service. But don't stop there. But it's not embarrassing. It's needed. God forbid we ever go back to the Vietnam way where we ignored those guys.
No, I hope that is, that sad part of history is long gone, you know, in the past, never to be revisited. Not forgotten, but not to be repeated.
And you know why? I'll get on the thing again. You know why it's not done during this last war with Iraq and Afghanistan?
I do not.
Because during the Gulf War, this is my opinion, guys like my dad who were Vietnam vets, right, they saw that right at the beginning of the Gulf War, here comes the liberal, here comes the hippie, here comes the guy who's going to badmouth the troops, say all these negative things about them, and start to protest. Well, now all these Vietnam era and Vietnam veterans are basically, they're in charge. They're running the show right now. So they put a big stop to it. My dad had this big Gulf War support group for people who had kids over in the Gulf War and were in the service at that time, and they would all meet. So if somebody came up and said something, you know, negative, they say, well, we don't do that anymore. You did it to me, the Vietnam guy.
Wow.
But you're not going to do it to my daughter, and you're not going to do it to my son. That evolved into Iraq and Afghanistan looking at them as they should be, as our heroes, and not as some political punching bag to make a point out of.
I love that.
Yep.
Was your dad a Marine as well?
Air Force.
That's tremendous.
The old Air Force, the Korean War, like 1950s, early 60s Air Force, when they were like men's men.
Yeah.
You know, there's pictures of my dad spear shooting. He taught me how to shoot a rifle as good as the Marine Corps did. But he knew those skills.
Right.
And that's from the Air Force. The Korean War era veteran is my favorite ones to look at. I am amazed by that character. We say World War II is the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, the Korean War guys, those vets in that era, really carried the water too. They did a lot of work for our country.
Yeah, I think every veteran.
As a family.
No doubt. I mean, every veteran, whether you're serving in peacetime or wartime, you're putting yourself out there to be called upon to serve for your people and your country. And that needs to be acknowledged. So thanks to all the veterans.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
No. So we'll hop right back into the news, which isn't nearly as exciting, but Ontario County is having an e-waste collection day. So if you have any kind of computer or television, tablets, e-readers that you want to get rid of, you know, you can't just throw those in the trash now. So Saturday, December 2nd from 8 to 2, the town of Bristol Town Hall on County Road 32 in Canandaigua is going to be having this e-waste collection day.
You know, a little known secret?
What's that?
You know that Best Buy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a computer buyback program where you get paid or you get credit towards your next purchase.
Are you kidding me?
And a lot of these computer guys, and I know I got a buddy, if he listens to the show, he's going, stop! But he goes around and he takes all your old computers, right? And he fixes them or he sells you a new one.
Okay.
Takes the old ones back, and I believe it's Best Buy. He gets paid.
I'm glad you brought that up. I personally have 3 or 4 old laptops in my basement I never use. And I'm just
especially
waiting to
laptops.
Get rid of them. Yeah. Oh, all right. I could have credit. Build up credit to get myself a new computer.
I could be wrong, but you know what? I guarantee
it's worth
you
checking into.
It's still worth taking it to looking and trying to figure out a place. You know, there's a place in Victor that used to take them in.
Okay.
Instead of throwing them in the trash, maybe they could be repurposed.
No, absolutely. And I think that's great anytime you can recycle stuff like that. So for this e-waste collection day, it does require pre-registration. I think they're only accepting up to 600. I don't know if it's 600 people or registrants or actual items, but you do have to register ahead of time with the Cornell Cooperative Extension. You can call them at 394-3977, extension 427, to register. But there's also a list of things on their website as well that you can't drop off. They don't want batteries, appliances, things like this. This is for computers and tablets, e-readers, things of that nature. So check it out.
It's suspicious when you think about it. So you're not leaving it on the curb to get picked up.
No,
right?
No, they're taking care of it.
You're dropping it off to an indoor facility.
Yeah, it's at the Town Hall Highway Garage at the town of Bristol. So I'm imagining you probably drive into that facility. I don't know for sure what the setup's like, but
I smell a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh, here we go. Somebody's they just want your
money.
Information.
The
Maybe
money?
They just want your information off your computer because they can't get your information from your microwave.
Well, I don't think that group wants our information, but
no, I agree.
But see, now that's the thing. So a lot of people would smash their laptop,
right,
and then completely ruin it. But that stuff can be wiped out. You know, by someone that knows.
Yeah, you got to figure out a way to do that. Make sure all your personal information is off.
Do they say anything about making money on the deal in any way at all?
No. So again, it's Cornell Cooperative Extension. I believe they're a not-for-profit, upstanding organization in the community. But yeah, learn more on their website or give them a call to pre-register. But they do, they have Collection Day coming up December 2nd.
Well, there you go.
So give it a shot. So quick pet peeve I have. I don't know if you've noticed this, Tim, but the Finger Lakes Railway, the railroad tracks that run across Main Street in Canandaigua, they run across the, I think it's the Ontario Pathway Trail. There are trains that come through there, but there are fools that will stop on the tracks in Canandaigua driving through. I see it every day. Trains do come through there, but people stop on the tracks. Have you ever noticed that? It drives me nuts.
What, do they just wait? I mean, like they think it's safe to be there for a minute?
Yeah. So if the light turns red, they'll stop and traffic gets backed up. They'll stop right on the tracks. And granted, the trains that go through there move pretty slow. I don't think it's ever a good idea to stop on the tracks. So if you're listening and you do that, don't stop on the tracks. Oh, it drives me crazy.
Well, I notice if somebody keeps posting on 2020 videos of the train
and that's what reminded
across.
Me of it. Yeah.
So what is his point? That the train, his or her, that the train is interfering with normal traffic during daytime hours and it shouldn't do this?
You know, great question. I don't know. I thought maybe it was a train enthusiast, you know, just taking pictures of this train coming through. There are no arms or lights flashing when the train is coming through in that area. You just pretty much hear that, hey, the train's coming. So there's nothing stopping you. But I think some people, because a train comes through so infrequently, once, maybe twice a week,
well, that's
they
horrible.
Think it's safe
There's
to,
no
to stop
arm
on
that
the
tells
track.
You.
There's no arm on Main Street.
So you
nope.
really could, in theory, everything could go wrong, right? The train conductor's looking at his laptop, trying to decide whether he wants to give it away or not,
or bring it to the.
And then he looks up, and there's that guy who's sitting on top of the train tracks, listening to our show, and
of course
he's not paying attention
because we have. I mean, the stuff we talk about, it's deep.
Oh, it's magnifying.
So deep. So, yeah, so don't step on the track.
It's even more so when Mike's here.
Oh, I know. We're really trying to fill time here, Mike. I hope you're enjoying vacation. Bear on the Chair on 332. It's getting some news. You know Bear on the Chair?
I do. I drive by it on the way home.
So I remember when that first started, I think a chair, some dining room chair with three legs maybe, flew off the back of somebody's truck. They were probably moving. And this chair sat along 332 for however, I don't know, months maybe. And somebody put a stuffed bear on the chair. It was years ago, right? I don't remember how many. But that bear would sit there. And after a while, things accumulated. So I think the bear might have gotten a friend, perhaps a bunny or something. And then there were, I don't know, all sorts of things. And it turned into kind of like a trash heap. It was cute when it was a chair and a bear, but it kind of got out of control. So that was removed not long ago. And there was kind of
the town probably came along and took it?
We don't know who did it. I'm guessing it was a town because it was becoming an eyesore with a ton of stuff around there. Before, like I said, it was cute. It was endearing. In holidays, people would put up, you know, like a Valentine's Day, it would have a heart. And at Christmas time, it might have like a little Christmas tree thing. But yeah, after a while, there just became more and more stuffed animals joining the ranks of this bear on the chair. So somebody got rid of it, probably the town. And people were upset, but it went away, and the bear on the chair reappeared about a month ago. And again, there are reports that it's gone again. So I know, big enthralling news.
Now it's going to, well, but that's funny because that, see, there's your community involvement, right? And people enjoyed it. And you're right. It was getting a little cluttered. I mean, I remember seeing that. But then again, people like seeing it.
Yeah.
So now now they're on the ball. So if they see one, they'll grab the bear in the chair, but they'll ignore the deer on the side of the road that's dead.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah.
They never pick those things up unless you call.
Really?
You gotta call. You think that they're out there going, oh, hey, boss, I saw a deer dead on the road.
Right.
Nope. Oh. Unless we get a complaint, we're not sending that guy out with that truck that has blood on the side of it, and you know where they pick up the carcass.
Right.
And so then we had one over here right on the Meridian that sat there for almost a week.
Oh.
But the second I complained, I actually picked up the phone and did something, it was gone within an hour.
Okay.
Or,
so they're responsive.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah, they're responsive.
Absolutely.
Which is great, but it's not like they have a full-time person just driving around picking up dead animal carcasses.
Well, they got a guy. But that guy's not, it's not his job to, like, go. He probably can't get paid unless someone calls him. But there's not a somebody, like, that's their job in this town or the city or county.
Right.
To, like, spot it, mark it, throw it, you know. You got to do it. You as a person have to call up and complain that there's a thing.
And the main thoroughfare where we are now is 332, which is a state road. So is it the state DOT that's responsible for coming out and taking care of that or the complaint? Or, like you said, it's some guy that comes out. Do they contract out to private individuals, maybe?
Yeah, it was like a contract guy.
Okay.
Somewhere's in that phone of all my pictures, I've got a picture of that, of the truck and the guy and stuff like that. So it's interesting that we have someone that watches for the bear in a chair, but not the dead
deer
in the road.
Fair enough. Hmm? Fair enough. I know. Another conspiracy, Tim.
I am full of that stuff this week.
So we got our first snowfall yesterday on Friday. I think it was beautiful. I mean, it's been a sunny day. Hopefully it continues throughout this weekend. But remember to honor and thank our veterans this weekend. Anything else new in news for you, Tim? Anything going on this weekend?
Well, of course, you know, there's Veterans Day where you get the free meal. And not a big fan. Some places are very friendly about it. I've seen other ones that just grudgingly do it because it's the fad now to give out a free meal.
So you think they're self-serving and saying, hey, we provide free meals to veterans.
Right. Well, and I noticed that the quality of the food went down. The size of the portion went down.
Okay.
If you brought a non-vet with you, they got double charged.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's a big name that I went to. So then I went to another one, and there was a sign about free meal Veterans Day. When we got there, they said, well, but we're not going to do it today. We're going to do it next Tuesday. So I go, and I'm thinking, there's all these vets. I can see the bumper stickers and the decals on their car.
Yeah.
And they're all in there because they thought they were getting a free meal. And they're either going to find out later that they're not, or they already know, but they said, well, we're already here.
That's confusing and really
disappointing. They actually said, we'll do it later.
Okay.
So, but there are some great places. Now, the guy who's the king of all this isn't here today. Ronnie Briggs.
Big Ronnie Briggs.
Big Ronnie Briggs knows where there's a free meal.
he can smell it from a mile away, huh?
And I'm going to make sure that I'm on the invite to wherever he wants to go. He'll have a place. It could be a lodge. Who knows? It could be anything.
Is Ronnie a veteran?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Airborne guy, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He went overseas, too.
Awesome.
So he's a good guy, good man. So that's my goal. Find Ronnie and go where...
Where Ronnie directs you.
You'll like this. Go where you're celebrated, not tolerated.
Oh, I like that.
Yep.
I like that. No, that makes me sad, though. I still can't get over that your portion or your meal would be different as a veteran for this free meal than the person that you're with who might not be a veteran.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That's outrageous.
And it made me not want to do that for a couple years.
So outside of veterans meals, though, you know where you can get a fun little meal is DJ's Gator Pit. Have you heard of this?
I've went there twice now.
So between Country Max and Speedway, right, on 332 in Farmington.
Right. Behind Speedway, on that road, which is... Does it say what road it is?
Let's see. It does not. Oh.
But it's in the parking lot of Country Max. And, you know, heading east.
Right. Yeah, I think everybody knows where that is. Kind of where you turn off 332 if you're heading towards the Racino.
Ask me what DJ's name is.
What's DJ's name?
Don Johnson.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Miami Vice.
That's exactly it. And it was really good food. We ate it twice. Other people there were getting food for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he always, I'm sure he charges, but he always makes sure if you got a dog, he'll ask you, do you want something else for your dog to
go? I love that.
So he gave Shotzi two treats twice, you know, grill-cooked food.
Yep.
It's char-broiled. It's very, very clean. I enjoyed the meal twice, and I'm telling you, I barely spent $10. I think one time I spent $7.50, and that was for breakfast, and it was lots of food, and food with Shotzi. And then there was, I went there yesterday for lunch from my buy-in trip. And I had the Gator plate.
I'm looking at it right now, $9.75. Where can you get a plate for under $10?
And it was full. I mean, and then by the way, these burgers weren't small. They had cheese, and he had the real Greek meaty hot sauce.
Oh, I get so hungry leaving the show, Tim. You have no idea. So I'm looking at the menu right now. They're open 7:30 till 3, and they do takeout. So you don't have to eat it right there in the parking lot. You can grab something on your way home, or if you're just stopping somewhere out from lunch, you're going back to the office. Hot dogs, hamburgers. You can get grilled chicken sandwiches. They even have breakfast sandwiches. So lots of good things. DJ's Gator Pip. I would give it a shot.
Thanks, Tina. So Veterans Day, thank you, Tina, for coming on the show again.
My pleasure.
And thank you for supporting our vets, supporting our town and our community. Tina's a great person.
Thank you.
Shoot us an email. Tell us you like Tina, you want to hear more about what she has to say. combatradio@yahoo.com or join our Facebook pages, which is 3 Men and a Microphone is one and Civil War Radio is the other.
That's right. That's right. And also in conjunction with Canandaigua 2020, Mike Yarger's page. So hopefully Mike will be back next week. We miss him. But thanks to you, Tim. Thanks to all of our veterans in this wonderful community. I'm so proud to call home.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye now.
My name is Tim Thornton. I'm a former corporal of the Marines, owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. I want to talk to you about something that is damn important. 22 vets commit suicide daily by their own hands. That's 8,000 a year. That's two regiments that are gone forever. We as a nation are failing them. I don't have an ice bucket, and I'm not asking you to write a check. But what I am challenging you to do is to pick up a phone and call a combat vet. That voice, that friendly voice on the other end of the phone, might just change that tragic day forever. I'm going to make that call right now.
Hello?
Is this Steve?
Yeah, Corporal Tim, what's up?
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, hang on a minute. I want to talk to you today. So if you're at home, pick up the phone, call a combat vet, show them you care. Hey, man, what are you up to?
Not much, just hanging out. How you doing?
Good. I just thought I'd give you a call. A Veterans Day message from the commander. Right now, a sailor is standing watch on a man of war somewhere in the Pacific. Right now, a Marine is on patrol somewhere in the foothills of Afghanistan. Right now, a soldier is standing watch on the DMZ in Korea. Right now, a Vietnam veteran is remembering his fallen comrades at the wall in our nation's capital. Right now, a World War II veteran is clinging to life in an assisted living facility. Right now, scores of veterans are at rest just down the street from here in our cemetery. Today, on Veterans Day, we honor them all on a day originally conceived as Armistice Day, a day to commemorate peace and a day to commemorate the war to end all wars. Our nation pauses and remembers those who have served. War, of course, did not end on that armistice in 1918. Europe, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, the Persian Gulf, Iraq, Afghanistan, all have been theaters of war since that original Armistice Day. Yet the principles behind that day, thanksgiving, prayer, and a struggle for peace through goodwill and mutual understanding are as necessary today as they were in 1918. Thus, today we give thanks in prayer. We reflect upon the sacrifice. We reflect upon the commitment. We reflect upon the sense of justice. And we reflect upon the desire for peace that is the common impulse among all those who have served, and the necessary bond between all nations. Eric Sullivan, Commander, VFW Post 5789. Remember Veterans Day, November 11th, 2013.
Why are you marching, son? I'd really like to know. Is it because of Valley Forge or perhaps the Alamo? Or one if by land, two if by sea? A trumpet's call, the will to be free? What of a man who stood straight and tall, who wept silent tears when he saw brave men fall? No matter, no difference, the blue or the gray, all were his brothers. How often he'd pray. And what of Antietam? That now peaceful stream where the water blood red glittered and gleamed. Appomattox, Chickamauga, Vicksburg, Bull Run, Cumberland, Gettysburg, and then Washington. Why are you marching, son? In Flanders field, how proud were they whose forms beneath the poppies lay. Men who saw Verdun and died at the Marne, Soissons, and those who tried the fearful foe at Chateau Thierry, who fought, bled, whose hearts grew weary, but in whose minds one thought kept churning, that the torch of liberty keep burning. Why are you marching, son? The plain swarmed in, and the rising sun glowed fiercely on the evil done to men whose blood runs through our veins, men who died, whose remains lie forever locked in waters deep. Now is it right that they should sleep while the warm sea laps at a twisted hull and see the torch of liberty grow dull? Anzio, Cassino, Bow, Saint-Mary-Glace, Limon, St. Lo, Garda Lake and Buchenwald, on and on the roll is called. And why? Why are you marching, son? Bugles shrilled in the frozen night and at first dawn, the awful sight of seas of men, row after row left to die on blood-stained snow. Busan, Pyongyang, Suwon, Gyeongju, and blood-red ran the swift Yalu. In South Vietnam, the big guns roared, and once again we fought a war. To honor a pledge our nation gave, to help that little country save her people from the certainty that she'd be ruled by tyranny. No matter where the big guns roar, our fighting men, like those before, take the torch we all held dear and face freedom's enemies without fear. Our fathers died from sea to sea and blessed the torch of liberty. Why? Why are you marching, son?
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m., and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.